Army folkloristen in open cellar.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Swiss Pats. I am Don Delco, and joining me as always is Susie Lyon.
G'day.
Welcome back from vacation, or holidays, they say over here.
Yep, it's like the middle of summer still.
This is great. The weather is fantastic. Where we are in the German-speaking area of Switzerland, the weather is wonderful. Well, I'm rested, relaxed.
How are you? Grilling in the park, literally playing Coob. Eating sausages, it's literally unbelievable that summer is still here.
I love me some Coob. That's a good game.
It is a good game.
It's a great, great game because you could hold the drink in your left hand and throw the little sticks.
Yep.
You don't spill your drink.
Well, it depends how many you've had.
It's true. It depends on how many.
It depends how hard the person opposite you throws their stick, whether you spill your drink or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. So coming up later in the show, our guest today is...
We've got Dale Margeson coming in, and he is from Legends Pies, which I'm very excited about because who doesn't love a pie?
Now, we met Dale at the Zurich Expat Expo, and all I remember is I was standing there meeting people, you know, doing the schmoozing and stuff. Susie comes over and says, "Eat this." And I was like, okay.
And it was
put
delicious.
Food in front of me, I'm going to eat it. And it was fantastic. Now, for me, a pie is sweet and something that grandma serves you or it's sitting on a windowsill. But this was a savory pie and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame down in Down Under. I'm looking forward to hearing from Dale about what inspired him to bring this delicacy to this part of the world.
So on my holiday, one of the things that we had was there was a little go-kart track at this resort we were at. And I could take my son and we'd drive around. I felt like I was an IndyCar driver. I felt like a big guy. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Is it like one of these like real go-karts where you've got a proper helmet?
Yeah.
You're going fast.
Oh, yeah. You had the helmet on. You had everything.
Nice.
It was automatic. Thank God. I didn't have to do any shifting, which is good.
So I assume now you are planning to become a Formula One racer.
I'm more for IndyCar, but okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, IndyCar is the American version, which features the greatest spectacle of racing,
right,
which is the Indy 500. But, Formula One would be cool too, whatever. So I think I'm ready. I think I could do better than this fella. So there is a Formula One driver who lives in Switzerland.
I think there's a few.
Yeah, there's a few. His name is, he's Finnish. His name is Kimi Räikkönen,
I think. Kimi.
Sure. Kimi? I don't know.
Old pal.
So this guy is a former F1 world champion. So I'm guessing he's really good
he's
at driving.
He's good, yeah.
Right, so his job is a professional driver. You and I, when we get behind the wheel, we're amateurs.
Definitely.
We don't get paid for that.
No.
This man is a professional.
In fact, I'm pretty sure that people would pay me to stay off the road.
I would chip in a few bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd chip in a few dollars for that. So this fella, he lives in Zug, and he hit a parked car.
It happens to the best of us.
Even the professionals. But I'm just like, you're a professional driver. How do you do this?
Was he driving a Formula One car at the time?
he was probably not, but it was probably a very fancy car. And he has been ordered to pay a 350 franc fine in addition to a 450 franc administration fee.
That's a hefty bill.
Now,
plus he's going to have to pay for the car to be fixed.
He reportedly swerved to avoid an oncoming vehicle and collided with a car parked to his right.
Mm.
Yeah, he's having kind of a rough go because last month it says that he drove for Ferrari, which is like one of the best Formula One teams, and they will not be retaining his services for 2019.
Oh, not because of this.
No, not because of this, but you know.
It's maybe a little bit of a kick in the teeth.
A little bit, but maybe you shouldn't. If you're a professional driver, maybe you shouldn't be hitting parked cars.
I don't know. I feel for the guy.
He's going to a Swiss team Sauber for the next few seasons. But yeah, 38-year-old that maybe his best driving days are behind him. Maybe he should just get a taxi or use public transportation.
Yeah, I hope the damage was minimal. I wonder what his excess on his insurance is.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, what kills me is the fine. Okay, is 350 francs, but the quote unquote administration fee, which is
who knows
just
what that is. Yeah,
shuffling papers is another $100.
It always blows my mind that administration fee basically means just someone typing up a letter.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and filing something like. Pretty sure we could all do that. If someone could pay me 450 francs, I'll file and write letters all day long.
I would get everything alphabetized. I would make copies.
I probably wouldn't be that organized.
For 450 bucks, I would get some good service.
Yeah. But it's like coffee. Like you pay 5 francs for a coffee. It doesn't cost 5 francs for a coffee to be made.
Yeah.
It's just one of these things in life that if you hit a parked car, you have to pay the administration fee.
You do.
You gotta deal with the consequences.
Well, I'm ready to deal with some pies.
All right, let's get Dale on.
Yodley.
And joining us now, we have Dale Margeson from Legends Pies. Welcome, Dale.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks so much for coming on to Swiss Pats. And I'm super excited to talk to you because you do something that I have not been able to enjoy for about 15 years because England doesn't know how to do pies and Switzerland doesn't know how to do pies, but you do.
Yeah, very much so. We had the same problem. I've also been here 15 years, so that's actually why I started the business. So
awesome.
So next step.
So what brought you to Switzerland in the first place? I'm assuming it wasn't the delicious pies they serve here.
It wasn't pies. It was the delicious ladies. That was the problem. I met myself a Swiss lady in New Zealand and then travelled over here on a spur of the moment thing. I ended up actually working in a small town called Schkoll in the Engadine Valley, building igloos. And then she broke up with me and I've been here pretty much ever since. So
love brought you here and then igloos kept you here.
Love probably not, but a bit of lust for sure.
Yep.
All right.
And then the igloos were the first job I had in winter, which was quite a change up for me from going from building tunnels in New Zealand to building igloos in Switzerland. So
yeah, we got to get into this before we get into pies.
Yep.
So igloo building. from a man from New Zealand, which I assume I've never been to New Zealand, but I assume snow is not a thing.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, snow is a thing. It is. There is snow. This winter they're having a good winter in New Zealand. There's lots of snow. It's just not as accessible as it is here in Switzerland. That's okay. The big thing. But the conditions are definitely different here. So okay. That's for sure.
So that proves my American ignorance right off the bat. So explain to me how one decides to start building igloos. I really got to flesh this one out.
It came down to necessity, really. When I moved over here, I didn't speak the language. I didn't have any contacts with anybody else except the girl I traveled here with. And she happened to go on holiday to this place quite often. And she knew about these igloos, and it just had one day on the website, it had a advert asking for workers. So that was it. So I just called them up and I got the job. So it's quite an interesting start.
So if we ever need an igloo in our back garden in Basel, then we know who to call. Hey, Dale.
Yeah, call. Don't call me anymore. But, the guys from Igloodorf, they do a fantastic job. They actually have a company now that have igloos throughout the whole of Switzerland and 5 places. On ski resorts, and you can actually go and overnight in those ski resorts. So that's actually what we were doing, is building igloo hotels.
Awesome.
Where you can do overnighters. So
you're obviously too busy making pies now to do igloos. So I assume, you know, you're building your igloos and you missed your pies. Is that why you started making these, or have you got a culinary background?
To be honest with you, that's type of how it goes. But I mean, we're talking 15 years ago. I started the business 5 years ago. And between building igloos and making pies, I did jobs such as working on rubbish trucks, working in recycling fabrics, did a few other jobs on the way, fixing snowboards in a service centre, whatever came to me. When you don't speak the language, you accept any job that you get until I was able to speak the language well enough. So my most recent job before the pies was working as a rafting guide. I actually worked for 5 years as a raft guide here in Switzerland and also in New Zealand and India. I did 5 years where I had no winters at all. I actually jumped backwards and forwards and spent time in India and New Zealand and Switzerland. So, and then I started the business. So,
missing winters sounds amazing.
To be honest, it's probably the one thing here that type of really brings me back is being able to live in the mountains here and go snowboarding and so on. That's the closest thing I get to go for a surf here. So I enjoy the winter here quite a lot. So
tell us a little bit about your pies, because Don mentioned earlier in the intro that we did that he thinks that pies are sweet. Now, to me, that's blasphemy because, you know, I grew up in Australia and eating a pie is like, it's a part of your culture. It's a part of your upbringing. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your pies and what you bring from home to make them here.
Yeah. I mean, in one way we would say pies are sweet in New Zealand. We'd probably say they're sweet as.
Yeah.
But for us, it's a culture. I'd say New Zealand, for me, it's our home food. In New Zealand, here in Switzerland, every bakery does gibfillis and croissants, and every single bakery does it. In New Zealand, every single bakery does pies. So you can get them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's something that I missed a lot here, is having that type of link to that food. The beginning of the business was quite tricky. There's no systems over here that actually allow to make pies. There's no such thing as pies when I first started. There was one other company doing them, but they were the stodgy, hard English pies.
And not the same.
For me, not the same. And for me, the pies are very important. I think the most important part for me was when I started making the pies, I had to make sure the flavors worked for me, because, to be honest, I'm not a baker. I'm a builder and a rafting guide, so the baking side of it was a new experience for me. And so getting the flavors right, the first time I ate the pies, they had to taste like the pies back home, and that was the most important part, bringing those flavors from home over here. So it's been quite a life-changing experience, actually,
Would you say like that whole like being able to hold a pie in your hand is like super important as well?
Yeah, I believe so. I think for me, a pie that is what you would call a handy food or a fast food. It's also a comfort food in a way. But for me, the pie was always something you can eat on the way. Over here, we've changed. We do a lot of food festivals and stuff where the people also take the pie in hand and walk away, and it is quite successful, but most of the people here do accept it as a sit down thing with a salad or something like that, which is completely fine. We don't mind why they buy them.
Yeah.
So long as they're enjoying them, that's the main thing. It's definitely, for us, it's very important. We make all of the pastries and the fillings ourselves, and the pastry we adapt to be exactly right so that the product can be held in your hand and eaten on the road. And there's plenty of pies in my life which fell apart as you're trying to eat them, and that's not what we're trying to do here at all. So trying to make a nice stable pie that tastes good and has all of the right properties. So,
yeah,
and
it brings you that little bit of home when you take a bite. Now, I definitely felt that when I tried your meat pies, but you don't just do meat pies, do you? You've got a whole range.
Yep. Currently we do around 8 standard flavors, and we have 2 or 3 seasonal flavors we run as well. We do 3 beef flavors with a typical beef and cheese. We used to call it a mince and cheese pie, but most people here thought it was peppermint and cheese, so we changed beef and cheese. We do a steak and ale pie. We use a local beer from a local brewery in Coor. We do a cottage pie as well. And we also do a Mexican chili pie. Then we have 2 vegetarian pies. It's been quite a change here. Doing with vegetarian, it's becoming more and more popular, and it's definitely a good market. And we do a nice spinach and feta pie with dried tomato, and also a vegetable curry, which is actually a vegan pie. And the vegan pie, surprisingly enough, is very, very popular. The people love it. And then we do a couple of chicken, the chicken and vegetable, and butter chicken pies. That's our standard eight. And then we also, at the moment, we have the hunting season just finished, so we're doing a venison and cranberry pie that we have. And then we often do a bacon and egg on special. And we've also got plenty of other flavors we make for customers, one of them being a kangaroo and bacon pie.
Oh, you're making me so hungry. Every time you mention one, I'm like, oh, I haven't tried that one yet.
And for the sweet pies, we also do a blueberry, apple and blueberry pie.
Oh, there you go, Don.
Oh, there you go. So
yeah, we do adjust.
Obviously, people like Susie expats from your area, the world, you know, this is something that hits home for them. What's the reaction been like from the Swiss people?
It's been a tough push, to be honest with you. It's like I say, we've been running 5 years. I think I said to somebody 5 years ago, if I wanted to be rich, I'd open a kebab store because everybody knows what a kebab is. But it is a tough push, but we've done lots of marketing. We do lots of times where we go do taste testings in supermarkets. We've done taste testings at events like the Expat Expo where I met you guys. We stand there with mini pies and we hand them out so people can try them and get to see what they actually taste like. And the general feedback is once they've tried them, they normally like them. It's just a food that they don't know. And the saying here in Switzerland is the farmer doesn't eat what he doesn't know. So it's about trying to get those farmers to try it. That's been the main thing. But it is a bit of a push to get people to try it sometimes. But we're definitely on the right track.
I was going to say, you've got a really, like a fairly big operation now. You're based in Lax, right? And you're kind of distributing all the way across Switzerland now.
Yeah, we deliver anywhere in Switzerland. We do delivery to pubs, bars, and cafes. We're also supplying to supermarket chains, a couple of smaller ones around the local area. We also do frozen delivery, private frozen delivery to the home for anybody we can actually deliver direct by post, frozen delivery, so they arrive frozen in the morning. And so it is a big operation at the moment. I'm still one person that's doing it everything, but it's a lot of work. Last year we sold over 25,000 pies for the year. And that was a good year. And this year, 2018, we're definitely up to beat that now already. So each year it's grown steadily. So it's a good showing in the market that it is growing. We have chosen to do things like most of our packaging is done in German because even though there's quite a few expats in Switzerland, it's about catching the Swiss market for us, definitely. So it's adapting the flavors to match the Swiss.
What kind of flavors are you adapting? What would you say is like a Swiss pie?
I don't think there's anything such as a Swiss pie. It's more adapting the flavor to. I always say to New Zealand, if you go into a bakery and you get a rubbish pie, you can go to the next bakery and you'll get a good one, and you know that because you know there's good bakeries and not such good bakeries. Whereas here, if you eat a pie and it's not a good one, they might never eat one ever again.
Right.
So. From the beginning, it has to be good quality with products that they know, adapting the names, like I say, going from mince and cheese to beef and cheese, keeping the flavors a little bit more refined, I think in German the word is, I'm not quite sure, just keeping the flavors a little bit more interesting for the Swiss people and not just having a rubbish quality cheap pie that that people will eat once and never eat again. That's the main thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think it's probably the same in New Zealand. The worst is when you've just got a pie that's like all filler, no meat. And that is definitely not Legends Pies. I took a bite into it and it is like all meat and I loved it and it did take me home. So I hope that when people try your pies that they feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, that's the main thing for us. I have a type of standard myself. We've had pies where we've made them and not been happy and we've given them away. And recently I had a bunch of seconds pies that we actually donated to a charity because I wasn't happy with the quality. So rather than put them out on the shelves, I donated them and they get eaten anyway.
Yeah.
Nothing gets thrown away. But it's really about the making sure each time we make them it's consistent, we have good recipes, And from there, we can have consistency so that you know if you buy a pie this week or you buy a pie in a month, the flavor is going to be
the same.
It's
going to be the same.
If it is going to change, it's only going to get better. Since we first started making pies, the quality from 5 years ago, I must say, is much better now. Not to say they weren't good at the beginning, but we've been able to adapt our flavors, adapt our knowledge, and with the knowledge, we're able to improve any flavors, which is the main thing. Improvement's good. So yeah. Not improving is not good.
So I have a question that Don's probably going to think is a weird one, but I think you'll understand it, Dale. Are you a tomato sauce person? Do you squirt yours on the top, or do you take the top layer of the pie off and get the sauce on there, then put the lid back on?
I must say I'm a topper. I'm a tomato sauce topper. I like to take the top off and then put sauce on the top and eat that first and then put sauce on the pie. It depends what kind of pie it is as well.
Yep.
I must say our new butter chicken pie, it doesn't really suit tomato sauce and neither does the spinach and feta so much. But having a beef and cheese, a nice mince and cheese pie, it definitely needs a bit of tomato sauce.
Yeah, sure. That's what I did. I got some of your pies when we were at the Expat Expo and I took them home and my husband was so excited because like me, he's been out of Australia for a really long time and we could not get pies like this in England when we lived there. And it's the first thing that both of us did. We cooked these pies, we took the lids off and we squirted tomato sauce on there. Not ketchup, tomato sauce.
Exactly.
And it was delicious. Yep. And with that mince, with that meat and cheese, it's so, so good. And I think I've said that three times now, but it did. It really, really took me home. Took me back to Penrith, 1999.
Yeah, that's the important part. I think when I first started making the pies, I remember eating the first sauce and I was thinking, that's not quite right. And then doing it again. And then the third time I did it and I just remember eating it and thinking, I was standing in the bakery outside of Turangi where I used to eat a lot of pies in the last few years and thought, that's a great place. Oh, there we go. That's the one.
That's the one.
And that's the flavors. And from there, we've worked off it. So, it's been important to have that kind of thing. So
your pies are being sold in Manor now, which is a huge deal. But this is fairly new, right?
Yeah, well, since the beginning of October, we've been in Manor. They did the first order 2 weeks ago, so they've collected them and put them on the shelves. It's quite a big deal for us. The first order was 2 weeks ago. They took 2,500 pies in the first order. So that was quite a delivery for us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I've got the capability here of producing more pies than that. That's not the problem at the moment. And we've grown the business slowly to adapt to demand. So we've never jumped too far ahead. We've always worked within budgets and tried to keep the business small, but keep it relative to what we're doing. There's no point in investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into something that might not work. So we've just grown with the demand. Our new kitchen we've just moved into has gone from being 60 square meters to 350 square meters. So we've got a bit of space now. And now we've got that adaption to grow with the demand. But at the moment, it's Manor throughout the German-speaking part of Switzerland, which is Basel, Baden, Rapperswil, Lucerne, I think also, Chur and St. Gallen.
Zurich?
Zurich, I think Baden. I don't think they actually have a Manor in Zurich itself, Manor food.
Right.
They have one in Baden and in Rapperswil as well. So that's the two closest to Zurich at the moment. And then the main deal is if it sells well, over the next 6 to 8 months, we're looking at development throughout the whole of Switzerland. So, which would be then 30 stores instead of 11 stores. So, that's definitely the right direction for us, I think.
Yeah, exciting times.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the main thing is developing the product, growing with the demand, and keeping the quality. There's no point in growing and selling hundreds of thousands of pies if you can't keep the quality.
Yeah, got to send those people home when they take that bite.
Exactly. Or send them to New Zealand if they're not from New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, you're gonna cause a lot of tourism over there, that side of the world, I think.
Yeah, we hope so. It's quite funny. There's a lot of friends I have now that have travelled back to New Zealand that or travelled to New Zealand, and they never really had pies the last time. And then since they've met me, they've been back and they've gone around and tried pies all over New Zealand. So it's been quite an interesting thing. There's people going around. I know my dad works at the airport in Auckland, and he's always making sure that people that, from Switzerland, they've heard about me before they go home.
Exactly, yeah. Tell them, like, get a Legends pie when you go to Switzerland.
Exactly. He's got cards and in the airport doing his job and giving flyers to people.
Awesome.
So, which is quite nice.
That is nice. Good. You got a built-in marketing all the way at the airport.
Yeah.
We need to give him some of our cards. Yeah. We'll have to start paying him, though. All right, yeah. So that I'm really excited about your pies because I have tried them and they are really great. For our listeners, let them know where they can purchase them. We already know they can get them at Manor if they're in the German-speaking parts. But for the people who aren't in the German-speaking parts, where can they pick up a Legends pie?
The best places to get them, on our website is all of the main details from our sales places. We have cafes that sell them in Thun and Lauterbrunnen near Interlaken. We also have places all around. I've got to have a look up on my website quick. I've lost count of everything. So,
but it sounds like the website's the best place to go if you want to see if there's somewhere near you.
Yeah, exactly. We have lots of little events coming with taste testings. In the next few months, we'll be planning on doing taste testings throughout all of the Manor stores throughout Switzerland. Throughout the German-speaking part of Switzerland, and that will also be on our website. We also have a new customer called Dinner, which is a small guy in Zurich, and he's actually designs and gives out meals. So what happens is you can pick up directly from him, and he'll give you the salad, he'll give you the pie, the whole lot, and you just turn up and pick it up from him. And then he's got a few different places where he is. And we have links on our websites to all of the places where the best places are. And if you're not in the German-speaking part of Switzerland and you are looking for something, definitely go onto our website. We've got the online shop. And with the online shop, we can post the pies to you anywhere in Switzerland, frozen delivery. So they arrive at your door in the morning frozen, so you can fill up the freezer. That's probably the best way for people that aren't in a zone where we do have a sales spot yet.
And if you're anything like me, you'll be hoarding them and hiding them secretly away from your Australian husband so that he can't eat them all.
Yeah. And also, if there's anybody visiting through Lux and Flims, we're always generally open. And if not, we have a number on our website where people can call and they can stop in and say hello. And if we're not here, we'll make time to come past and make sure we are here when they're here.
Awesome. I think that you could be the person who makes eating hot pies on the slopes a thing.
We would like to, definitely. We're having a lot of trouble with the ski resorts. They're one of the hardest markets to get to. And believe it or not, we as foreigners, as expats, we all believe that a pie on a mountain would be the best thing in the world. But the ski resorts here don't seem to see it that way.
We've got to work on it, Dale.
Yeah, we're working hard. They seem to think people want to spend 18 francs on a sausage with gravy and some chips, and they don't seem to see the value. And there's a lot of margin that they deal with.
Yeah, it would get me back on the slopes.
Me too. Yeah, and I don't even ski.
Don't even ski. You just come up the mountain for a pie. That's all you need to do. Yeah.
Exactly. Awesome. So the website is www.pies.ch.
Yeah, very easy. Yep.
That is super easy. You're right. Nobody else was doing pies.
Just search Legends Pies on Google or on Facebook. Legends Pies is the – and on Instagram are on there as well. So we always have Facebook. We always have our little upcoming events and stuff. We always post something, or if we've got a special, so on, then we always keep it up to date on it as well.
So. Awesome. So if you want to see what's happening with Legends Pies, then you need to follow them on Facebook and visit the website pies.ch. Dale, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us about pies. I'm starving. I'm going to go and put one of your pies in my oven so I can have it for lunch.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. And thanks for your time. Good luck with everything. And we'll get back to cooking.
Yep. Get back in that kitchen and make some pies.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to do this week. So thanks for your time and,
talk
enjoy
yourself.
Maybe we see you at the next Expo in
Geneva. Exactly. So make sure you come down if you're listening to meet Dale and try out his pies if you're going to be in an area that Dale is.
Yep, for sure. The next event's Expat Expo in Zurich, in Geneva.
Yep.
So if anybody's over that way, we'll be there. We'll have pies to sell, hot pies to eat on the day, and we've also got mini pies to try. So it's a cool event to come and meet heaps of expats. So
awesome.
Sure.
Thank you, Dale.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dale, for coming on Swiss Pats. We love talking to you about your pies, and we think everyone should try them. They're delicious.
Yes, they are fantastic. I enjoyed them very much.
Yeah, pies are good. So I have a little story for you because we've got the ski season coming up. Believe it or not, besides the sun shining, at some point it is going to start snowing. And we are going to have to get our skis out, Don.
It snowed in Denver yesterday in America. It's October.
I was going to say, is that normal?
In Denver. I don't know. It seems a little early.
Denver's like, they have one of the biggest mountains in America, don't they?
They're kind of like the Switzerland of America, right? So it's like, but man, October, that's early.
I mean, I don't know. Is it?
it feels early. It feels like it shouldn't be snowing right now.
There's probably already snow all over Switzerland that we don't even know about. Because we're still wearing shorts and walking around the park at midday. We think that
drinking and playing coup.
Yeah. There can't possibly be snow anywhere, but actually there probably is already.
Oh, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this at all.
Right. So one of the fanciest places in Switzerland is Davos. It's like, really, I think it's where the royals went, or maybe even sometimes still go. It is proper fancy. I personally haven't been there. I've got a friend who broke her leg there, so I avoid it.
Okay.
I stay away from Davos because I do not want to break any more bones while skiing.
You already broke a thumb, correct?
I already broke a thumb. Yep. Just being in snow is bad news for me. So this is a little bit of a warning, you know, to those looking to find a hotel in Davos, because there is one that the local tourist office describes as their problem child hotel, because they have decided that they do not want people calling them and having to deal with them outside of reception hours. So if you need a clean towel, or if you need to check in late or early, then they say, nope, not happening unless you pay 50 francs. So they've very, very clearly and kindly given their opening hours, which is 8 a.m. to midday and then 3 p.m. till 8 p.m. If you want to have anything to do with their reception in between those times, 50 francs.
So I'm guessing this is something that is not taught in hotel management in school, right? Isn't it the idea of you kind of want to make your guests feel welcome and encourage kind of, in not so nice terms, just encourage kissing their ass?
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line. I think, you know, the customer is always right is something that I don't actually agree with. And I don't think that that is the attitude that customers should have.
It's a very American attitude, by the way.
Yes. However, you know, when you're paying to go somewhere, you know, you kind of want to be greeted with a smile and thanks for your, you know, for coming sort of attitude.
Sure.
Just like, hi, we're so glad you're here. We can't wait for you to be our guests.
Is there anything we could do for you? Yes.
Not, excuse me, but it's 8:02. That'll be welcome. 50 francs. Right. How dare you disturb my dinner time?
Welcome to the hotel. Here are the rules of things you cannot do.
Yeah. Like, do not have fun.
Right.
Break bones. Yeah. So it's called the Hotel Bunda. So like I said, it's described as the problem child. So, I mean, you don't get described as a problem child if you just do one thing. So I'm going to, you know, this is maybe me guessing, speculating, but I'm going to say there might be other issues.
So I'm thinking, though, from their point of view, is like they're saying, look, we're telling you ahead of time. This is the rules. This is what we do. And you should know going in. A lot of other rules and things here in Switzerland, like if you were, you know, pulled over or whatever, or if you break a rule, the Swiss viewed as, well, you should have known that going in.
Yeah.
And in some
ignorance
respects,
is not a,
right,
not a defense.
And it's not a defense. So if I book a few nights at this hotel and I go in knowing after 8 o'clock, I'm not going to be able to get some extra towels. I knew that going in, but I guess I don't know what the benefit is of maybe picking another one, doing Airbnb. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I stayed in an Airbnb recently, just this holiday just gone, and I was a little miffed, and I had to remind myself, like, it's not a hotel.
Right.
So the when I booked the Airbnb, it said that check-in was 3 p.m., which is fine. So driving from Basel to Italy, four-hour drive, I knew that we, if we left at a certain amount of time, if we didn't hit traffic, we'd arrive at about 3. The man who rented the place to us kept asking me, what time will you arrive? What time will you arrive? Nonstop. And I just felt like, I don't know. What happens if I get stuck in the tunnel? I don't know what time I'm going to arrive. And I ended up saying to him, okay, so you've got on your advert that arrival is from 3. So we plan on arriving at 3 and I will let you know if something happens. And we actually didn't arrive at 3 because the town was having some sort of festival and there was nowhere for us to park. It took us an hour to find a car parking spot.
My.
No joke. So we were hungry and then we needed to eat.
Grumpy.
Yeah. And so then, you know, I had to message him and be like, I'm sorry, but we're going to be at 4 instead of 3. But I felt like I had to kind of tell myself, like, he's not a hotel. He has to wait and let us in, which is fair enough. But I didn't understand why he needed to constantly ask me when he put on there that I needed to arrive at 3.
Yeah. Like, I've had that before with Airbnb in London. Like, they were just, like, you know, constantly on the day, like, asking me, you know, what my flight's coming in, where am I at, blah, blah, blah. And it's like at some point after like 3 or 4 phone calls or text messages, like, guys, I'm on my way.
I'm actually traveling. Yeah.
I'm coming to you. You're my first stop. But yeah. I've given you my information. Just chill out. Now, I guess that's the whole thing between, as we get off on tangent here, but like between
hotels and Airbnb.
Right. You know, like Airbnb, you might get more space, it might be cheaper, but you're dealing kind of with things like this.
I must admit, though, I've never stayed at an Airbnb who has told me that I'm not allowed to contact them between certain hours. They've always said, if you need anything, just let me know.
That's true.
They're always like, you know, sometimes you read these reviews and they're like, oh, I had a problem and they came and helped me. Or, you know, I've never actually had a problem at an Airbnb, so I've never had to contact the host.
No, but generally they've been very welcoming and very forward on, you know, contacts if you have any questions or whatever. But, you know, everyone does have their horror stories, but generally it's a good experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking for world-class service, I would probably not recommend the Hotel Bunda in Davos. Not that I've stayed there myself, but yeah, good luck if you need anything between the hours of midday and 3 p.m. because you won't get it. Not without a fee.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's good old Switzerland.
Good old Switzerland.
We love it, don't we?
We do. We also love Dale for coming on. Thank you so much. And we also would like to let you know that we're available on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe and leave a comment, review.
And you know what? We're available 24/7.
We are. Hit us up on our email, swisspads@gmail.com. I'll give out Susie's phone number here in a little bit. You can call her at any hour of the day if you have any comments or questions on SwissPats. We're on all the social media channels, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. All that information is available at our website, swisspats.com. And I think I have given all the information necessary to end this podcast.
Yeah. And a little bit of a tease, watch out Geneva, we're coming for you in November.
Can't wait.
Yummy folks that eastern open set.